And welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new arc. It's a new world. It's a fantastical, magical place we'll ever be.
Welcome to our new series, Fantastical Subclassical, where Ed and I make up a different subclass each week. How difficult was that?
I don't know. Well, look, I was just having a great... I've just fallen off the deep end.
No, this is Starter Set. There's no time for fun. It's just solid information.
That's all it's going to be. Speaking of solid information, Sam, and fun, how's your D&D week been, mate? What's been going down?
Tuesday night campaign that we play in took another turn for the better recently. The turn for the even better, I should say. We got a plan. We might end up sort of being like the D&D Unabomber. I don't know yet. But we'll see in the fullness of time. I'm really enjoying that. I'm also really enjoying talking to our Patreons on our Patreon Discord channel. And see what I did there. I am genuinely enjoying it because we've got a couple of people signed up already. They're having a whale of a time. You could be with them. We're preparing for our very first Patreon bonus show, Session Zero, where you can basically ask us anything on a monthly basis, plus get loads of great extra content. This sounds like an ad, and it kind of is, but it's actually really fun to have people ask you questions about the show and tell you what they enjoy about it and just get to chat to people as well. I've been having a lot of fun with that recently. What about you, Ed? What's your D&D week been like?
My D&D week. My D&D
Haunting.
Week. My D&D week. It's been good, actually. No, I've enjoyed myself. Obviously, we've had that game that we had on Tuesday night. My Goblin Wizard had a great time. We got to do a little bit of intense role-playing, Sam. I actually really enjoyed that at the beginning of that episode.
Yes, we did. That was really good.
Yeah.
You came at me like a ton of bricks.
I did.
But I thought that was good. We had a sort of...
So for context, Sam's character's been on a bit of a revenge drive, and that put a few of the other characters at risk. Zebulon, my goblin, who's very pragmatic and doesn't necessarily care for emotional connections that much, basically just laid into him saying, like, listen, everybody's got dead people and all that sort of stuff. You're putting these other people that I need at risk, and if you kill them, I'm going to be really annoyed because I need them for my future machinations.
But it's all come full circle, because at the end of that session I was like, oh, we have this box that means I might get a do-over extra life, so blow me up and that'll be fine. And, you know,
yeah, so that's quite...
I can come full circle and have an arc within an arc.
I am aware that sometimes when we go into these roleplay sessions, and I say we, I mean the entirety of the D&D world, if you are going to, like, give someone's character maybe a little bit of an intense situation where it's ultimately a telling off or like a decking in, give them a heads up that you're going to do it, which, you know, I check with Sam just in case, because I'm not going to just come and blindside you when ultimately you're going to have fun. Anybody who's listening and is thinking that that might be something they want to do and get a bit confrontational without combat, that's key. Just give the person that you might get a little bit ropey with a heads up that it might happen.
Yeah, definitely. It's about keeping it fun, but which I think we know each other well enough to know that it wouldn't. But I think even though, like, I think if Zebulon had come at Anoki, that's my character, and said that, and you hadn't given me that forethought, I would have thought that's like Ed coming at Anoki. So I would have reacted differently than if you'd given me that heads up and say, hey, I'm gonna come at you like this. It's like, oh, it is roleplay, which means I can argue fully as my character, not Sam through the character, if you know what I mean. And there is a difference. It's kind of weird. I think people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's that, why did you kill 10 people? It's what my character would do. Argument when actually when it comes down to it probably isn't anyway. But no, I really enjoyed that session and I enjoyed all that stuff, and obviously I've been working on this week's fantastical subclassical.
Should we run some ads and then get into it?
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Akovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing and adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already.
Bye!
Okay, hello everybody, welcome back. Without further ado, or waiting, or hesitancy, or pausing, or deliberating, or anything.
Okay.
You see what I'm doing?
I see where that bit was going.
Let's crack on with it. So, for this week's fantastical subclassical, I decided to have a little crack at the Warlock. Now, the idea of this and the idea of this arc is to basically kind of encourage you guys, if you haven't gotten involved with it and you want to kind of put your own stamp on a class, I'm going to take you through the process and how I've thought about sort of each ability and that as a gap and then filling that. Much like we did with the races, where we sort of said identify an area where things maybe aren't happening or where you think that you want to kind of explore and then fill that with your idea. Okay, so with a warlock it's a little bit tricky because we have a few things to take into consideration. Yes,
warlocks more than anything you can go really off the reservation but have a pretty good foundation, i.e. as long as it's something I can make a deal with and for why, I think I'm going to be all right.
And the really nice thing that you said there, Sam, is the word reservation, because
because
my patron that I'm going to be bringing to you guys is based on wild environments. Like a reservation. Well, technically a reservation isn't wild, it's actually man-made. But you understand where I'm coming from here, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So warlocks, they can obviously, they make a deal with the devil and then poof, they have the magical abilities of a wizard. And then they make a deal with a fey individual and haha, I can summon a sword and I know kung fu and all that sort of stuff, right? So I thought, okay, we haven't looked at, and we have the celestial who kind of goes, poof, now I know a little bit of cleric-y stuff.
Space god, yeah.
And that stuff as well. So let's have a look at how a warlock would basically steal a druid's power or trade up for a druid's power.
Oh, okay. Cool. What a good hole you've identified.
As the vicar said to the priest.
That's inappropriate. This is a kid's show.
So the patron that we have for this is the wild spirit.
I like this already. Okay.
So this patron is the spirit of a long established wilderness area. You know when we talk about things like that forest has a memory or that mountain has a soul.
Oh, like the swamp in The Last Airbender they all think he's kind of living.
Yes.
But it's all connected and all the roots are all entwined and it's been there for so many years it has its own consciousness of sorts.
Yes, exactly. Or Fangorn Forest in Lord of the Rings. Is another one.
Oh yeah, that famous.
I know you haven't watched it, and I know you haven't read it. It's terrible.
I watched it once. It's terrible. And I was just like, oh, they're walking. This, I dig it.
This is a D&D podcast.
Okay, so it's like a living forest spirit, like Grandmother Willow if she got pissed.
Yeah. But not only so you've got that forest part of it, but it could also potentially be a mountain, a volcano, anything which has, you know, this huge impactful power upon the world and creates sort of ecosystems around it. Volcanoes are a great example of this. You know what I mean? Like the Galapagos Islands are just a series of volcanoes.
Caves. Underground caves.
Yeah.
Moss and shit.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So you're making a deal with the spirit of that thing, right? So that's your patron. Now, the way that I want this to kind of work is a lot of the patron elements that you get from other other patrons are about damaging, messing with people, and except the celestial one, are about
tricking them.
Yeah, tricking them and you know, generally messing with others. But I wanted to kind of look a bit more at buffing your party, and not necessarily through healing, just through sort of better magical effects and things like that. So things that can make you sort of move and things and armor you up and all that sort of stuff. So let's first of all look. So I've expanded the spell list, right? Which is basically, I'm just going to nab some bits from the Druid and the Rangers. Expanded spell list, first level, they get Entangle and Snare. Mm-hmm. Second level, Animal Messenger, Spike Growth. Third, Bestow, Curse and Water Breathing. Fourth, Blight and Giant Insect. And then fifth, Commune with Nature and Awaken.
It is super druidy then.
Yeah.
Like you really went into that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And what I've tried to do is not stick around and just gone forest. I've gone, right, we can put some water breathing in there to kind of go with the whole...
Yeah.
You know, you see what I mean? Also, when you sort of make your deal, you get something called Wild Path at first level, right? So what this means is the Wild Spirit allows you to remain true to your destination, which means you can't become lost when in wilderness areas and your movement isn't inhibited by difficult terrain. And the key thing here is when it's you're outside of built up areas. So your DM will kind of have to give you a little bit of wiggle room and on how you want to use that and where you can use that, but that's your first level ability, okay? And then we hit sixth level where we get Wild Ward. So your patron's identity begins to manifest itself in your physical appearance. Okay, so let's say you've made a deal with a waterfall spirit that's been, you know, cascading mountains and mountains of water over the side of a cliff for however long.
Sweating and crying all the time.
Yeah, it could be. It could like that could genuinely be part of it, or you know, your arms begin to become this sort of continual shifting water element, or let's say you've made a deal with a volcano spirit and then your skin begins to crack and show volcanic fissures through it, and it begins to look sort of darken and blacken like that volcanic rock that we see. But what that comes to as far as a mechanical benefit is your AC, unarmored AC becomes 8 plus your proficiency plus your spellcasting modifier, which will be your wisdom probably.
Yeah.
So that's that one. 10th level, then we start to sort of deal out a little bit of damage. So we've kind of buffed ourselves. We can move a bit better and we don't get hit as well. And then there's a little bit of a rebuffal here. So this is Nature's Fury. As a reaction, when you're hit with a melee attack, you can half the amount of incoming damage you receive and then return the full damage to the enemy that targeted you plus your wisdom modifier.
That is super useful. That's really great. And I think... Is that once per short rest or something?
Do you know what? I haven't actually put that in, but definitely, I think what we'll probably do, so it scales quite well, is it'll be equal to your equal to your proficiency. Yeah. And then we can reset it on, because these are warlocks and warlocks reset on short rest typically, let's reset it on a short rest, okay?
Nice.
So good call, because I do need to add that to the document. And then finally... at 14th level, now typically this is where we would have you know, things like Hurl Through Hell, Psychic Barrage, and just the horrible, here's 10d10s, roll them and just see somebody's eyes pop out of their skull. But this one is where I kind of want them to sit with that kind of protective and look after everybody kind of vibe. So this is called Home of the Wild. So during a short rest, you can become attuned to an area of the wild you are touching, making it your home. And I'm using air quotes there. As an action, you can target up to 6 creatures of your choice, including yourself, to be teleported to your chosen home of the wild, during which the chosen creatures recover health equal to your remaining hit die.
That's really nice, because it's not only is it a good get out of jail, it's also sort of useful outside of combat. If you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Now, on this one, I was sort of umming and ahhing about whether I make it that you can attune yourself to multiple homes of the wild, but then realized actually that there's the potential for that to kind of be squiffed with so much that, and this resets on a short rest as well, that it can be squiffed with so much that you begin to miss any of the dangers of travel and things like that.
Yeah.
And, admittedly, at this point, if you're 14th level and you have a wizard in your party or a druid, you've got sort of stride through trees and teleport and all that sort of things. But as we know, these guys are all about kind of stealing, so you can't have that power imbalance with it, I don't think.
Yeah.
An interesting element that I put in here purposefully is you can target a creature or six creatures of your choice. Now, they don't necessarily have to be allies.
Ooh, shit.
So you could potentially, they're still going to
get
the
health. Take your party and the big bad, but leave all of his minions
something
behind.
Along those lines, yeah. Or you can just chuck, let's say you somehow become attuned to an area underwater, and then you go out and you find somebody else, and then you pop, let's say, I don't know, a dragon underneath a various amount of sea. And then that's how we can deal with that. But the fact that they get healed is how I would, as a DM, deal with sort of mitigating that.
Yeah, because you can't just be like, hey, fucking doesn't matter, boop.
Yeah,
boop, I've just dropped him in the fucking ocean.
Yeah, exactly. And you obviously have to spend your time there as well to do the connection.
Of course.
Okay, so that is the patron of the wild spirit and the abilities that go with that. Now, obviously,
I like it a lot,
right? Uh-huh. We've got a wild spirit patron.
But wait, there's more.
There is more.
Yeah.
So with this patron becomes and appears a new pact, a wild pact. The pact.
Oh shit! Cool. Yeah, because we get a new pact. Ah, yeah.
Yeah. And this pact can obviously then go across all of the different patrons that already exist. So this is the Pact of the Hexen Beast. And I'll tell you exactly where I got my inspiration for this from. This is from the second Dresden Files book, which I think is called Full Moon, where some FBI agents are given talismans which allow them to transform into wolves.
Yep, fine, sure, okay.
So what happens here is your patron gives you a talisman, and this allows you to transform into a Hexen Beast. Okay?
Okay.
Now, it works very similar to that of a druid's wild shape, except you can't wild shape into multiple things. It's always that singular hexen beast. Now, statistically, it looks very similar to I always forget the artificer's mate, the battle companion.
Oh, the steel defender.
Yes, the steel defender! And then you can basically transform into that. Whilst you're there, your wisdom and charisma and intelligence are kept, but the physical characteristics are given to the Hexen Beast. And the nice thing here is you can basically skin it however you wish.
Yeah, I know you say you can't do multiple, you can't be like a badger one day and a parrot the next. More's the pity. Mm-hmm. But you pick one thing. It can be any one thing.
Yes. So
kind of, I guess it would have to make sense with if you're spirit is the ocean, it would be a shark or a whale or a swordfish or something, and if it's a waterfall, it'd be a bear or a salmon or something.
Well, even with different patrons, so it could take on the aspects of those different patrons. So let's say you make a deal,
because this is a pact, not the thing, right? Yeah, so if it was the archfey, you could be like a fucking fey rabbit. That's a bad example, but you know what I mean.
No, that's fine. I don't know. If you get like a 6-foot rabbit coming towards you, like what the hell's a kangaroo if it's not a 6-foot rabbit that can punch you?
I would soil myself. Yeah, you're quite right.
You can, for let's say you've got a undead pact, you know, the easy thing is like this sort of skeletal creature that you transform into, like, which is an amalgamation of different wolf's heads. Hellhound. Sort of skin for the demonic.
Oh, dude.
The great old one stuff where, like, you know, you don't, looking at me is just going to hurt your brain.
Cthulhu.
Yeah, because I'm an impossible shape. I'm just a triangle in 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 a triangle. And so it goes on and on and on and on. Yeah. So that's the Hexen Beast. That's the pact that brings on there.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, and this will be posted, you know, for those of you who are sort of going, oh, that sounds cool, we'll post this within our Patreon, and you can see all that. But next up, we have the invocations. So not only have we got a new patron, a new pact, but there's also some invocations.
Oh.
These are all sort of a little bit typical to the pact of the Hexen Beast, because you'll notice that a lot of the invocations boost whichever pact that you are with. and they kind of allow you to, again, customize how that works. But they are heightened senses. Now, you don't have any prerequisites to this one. You gain the keen sensibility and become proficient in the perception skill. Okay, so that's taking a bit of that beastie stuff and kind of injecting it in there, but anybody can kind of do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Bestial Caster. Now, this is Pact of the Hex Beast prerequisite. So the limitation on you casting whilst transformed is lifted, and you can cast your spells normally without the need for verbal semantical materials whilst you're transformed into the Hexen Beast.
That's really great.
Then we move on to Toughhide, which is a prerequisite. You have to be level 6 Pact of the Hexen Beast. Whilst transformed into the Hexen Beast, you become resistant to all non-magical piercing, slashing, and bludgeoning damage. So you kind of get a little bit of that Barbarian Rage kind of vibe going on. Mm-hmm. And then finally, which is a level 8 Pact of the Hexen Beast prerequisite, Gruesome Devourer. When you reduce an enemy to 0 hit points, you can devour a portion of their body to gain temporary hit points equal to your wisdom modifier.
I like that, just for the roleplay fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just like, okay, he's dead, and you're just, no, there's more to come.
Yeah, and that is my warlock for you, along with an added pact that all is geared towards an area that currently we don't have any coverage toward, which is that natural element, while still injecting, I hope, a little bit of the weirdy beardy warlock sort of stuff.
It does, because it's parts of it sound a lot like Tasha's Path of the Totem Warrior for fucking Barbarians, I think it is, where it gets a bit beastie and you can transform into an animal, but it sounds like there's a lot more magics that go with it. Yeah, I don't think it is Path of the Totem Warrior.
Yes, but that is exactly it. It's taking that sort of, how would I describe it? Sort of coloration, I guess, with this sort of natural element, and then you inject it into areas where it hasn't been. And that's quite a nice way, if you're sitting at home going, I want to do a subclass, just go, all right, what do I like about another class that I don't get too much of in this one? And then how can I cross-compatibilize it?
Oh, we're going to get some of that, because I'm doing a Ranger subclass at some point, and oh boy.
Yeah?
Oh boy, is that going to be a mix and match, yeah. But that was really great, Ed. But for now, you know what I'm pulling out?
I do, Sam.
Shall I tee up the jingle?
If you would.
There's a wonderful box, it's deep in my soul. Where is my love for humanity? In a dark, dark hole. It's Sam's character box.
Wonderful. So, Sam, you've got a warlock for us then.
Mm-hmm. He is a... What is they? I'm going to go with Furball Warlock, because I think they're really great, because I play one of those, who was cave diving one day, and he gets trapped, and he's like, looks around, he's like, oh shit, I'm on my own, I'm running out of air, I don't know what to do, and then from the bottom of this deep, dark hole, which is why I did the jingle, see, it's not a red flag for some sort of, you know, breakdown, the light appears, and it is the spirit of the cave, right, the wild spirit. And basically, that's how he gets his powers. But obviously, with all warlocks, there is a trade-off. So the more he levels up, the more he is called back to the deep, dark depths of the caves. And we know furbolgs like to be out frolicking in the wild. Well, this one, if you were to choose this backstory, the more you go along with it, the less you fight your patron and take these gifts, the more you are called back underground. And you kind of like, a bit kind of like Smeagol and Gollum.
Yeah, I got a bit of that vibe.
I can do Lord of the Rings as well.
Yeah, well done.
You know? and yeah, so that's what you do. And you're called back and your skin starts to mottle and sort of like pale. Mm. You get really pallid as if you live underground, and people are like, the fuck is wrong with that dude? And you're like, oh my God, I want to go in the shade.
I like it. I do really like it. That's quite nice as well.
And maybe... what I like to do is, if you were to take, like, if you were to multi-class and take a couple of levels of Barbarian, you could be the Hexen Bastard.
Yes.
I just like the word.
Oh my gosh. What animal would his Hexen Beast look like?
Ooh, it would be a great big cuttlefish. One of those things that lives in the, or like a big crab, lobster type thing. You know, something like,
like with like
or a limpet, just thump,
thump, a chestnut. I like the crab thing though, because you can kind of go with like a translucent shell almost. You know what I mean? Where you can see all the stuff inside.
He's trapped in there.
Oh, that's really nice.
No, you've got all these powers.
That's really nice. I like that a lot. Excellent. Well, that listen, that brings our first fantastical subclassical episode to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please do, you know, share it around. Share the love. Say hello. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Also, if he was a crab, like maybe you could, I haven't thought this through, but maybe you could get sort of some kind of pincer. Like one, like in District 9 where he's like, oh, my arm. I mean, there'd be more to it than that. Anyway, goodbye, everybody.
Have you ever wanted to learn more about geography without sitting through a snoozy old lecture? Geography Arcade is a weekly podcast all about your favorite video games and their geographic lessons, inspirations, and even some minor analysis. Some may say analysis, boo! Well, we're gonna learn and have fun while we talk about Pokemon, Elder Scrolls, and much more. Come join the adventure at Geography Arcade on your favorite podcatcher and YouTube.
Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast, my name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arrgh.